Hey, friend. This week, I'm joined by content strategist Kyla Yuli. And if you're trying to get more visibility for your product brand online and actually turn that visibility into sales, you are going to love this conversation. I originally started following Kyla on social media because her videos kept popping up on my feed, and every single one of them was packed with just practical, no-nonsense advice, specifically for product folks, which is unusual to see. She does an incredible job of breaking down what actually works when it comes to organic video content on TikTok and Instagram, especially for product brands that want to grow their audience and sell more of your product. Now, in this episode, we talk about the role that organic content should realistically play in your overall marketing strategy, the difference between content that simply gets views and content that actually converts to sales, and we talk about the biggest mistakes that product brands make when they show up online. Kyla also shares her perspective on something that I know a lot of you wrestle with, which is whether or not to show your face on camera or if your product can truly be the hero of your content. So we're going to dig into what intentional conversion-focused content actually looks like, the formats that are driving results, and why chasing virality is not the strategy that most people think it is. If this sounds interesting to you, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Before we dive in, today's episode is brought to you by our Proof to Product Labs program. This is our community and coaching program for product-based business owners who want support building stronger sales, marketing, and operational systems within their business. So inside of Labs, we host expert workshops with incredible industry leaders, including Kyla. She's coming soon to teach a workshop on how to turn visibility into sales so that, again, you're not just creating content that gets attention. We want to create content that moves the customer towards purchasing. But she's coming to Labs to teach that workshop. Members also get access to coaching calls, our template vault, audits on things like emails, catalogs, and e-commerce websites. Plus, you get a generous community of product brands and founders who are building alongside you. So learn more about Labs and join us at prooftoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. All right, let's dive in. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Kyla, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to chat with you. I started following you on social media, either TikTok or Reels, a while ago because your videos were just so engaging. You drop so much helpful and like real strategies that help product brands not only gain visibility, but also sell more of their products, which I love because there's a lot of stuff out there about visibility, but it's about like going viral or like getting lots of followers. And like, no, we want sales. We want sales. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Tell the listeners about your background and what you've done in the past and what your business looks like now.
Yeah. So I started from a whole bunch of failures. Like I came from a place of like, my husband died when I was 21, and then I was homeschooled my whole life, and I had hair down to my butt, and I was like, now what? Now what you gonna do? Like, couldn't get a job, couldn't even get into college because I didn't even have a diploma, and it was like, well, I guess we're gonna try to start some businesses, and the three of them didn't work. So for years, I was getting like incremental little bits of success, but nothing that like really, really stuck. I tried the soap, I tried the jewelry, I tried the stuff that just doesn't really go anywhere. And everything was a learning process. And it wasn't until I got to business number four, which was the vintage sunglasses, where I'm like, okay, now I got it right. Now I understand. So now that I've got big brain, I'm making $1 million. And then I found out that you can't just turn on ads right away and they work because you want them to work. And you can't just give away product to people and they're going to post you and go viral. And you can't just give stuff to influencers and then you're going to get a million sales because they got 400,000 views. So it was another piece of the process. And I got to the point where I was like, well, let me try to sell through content. And through this whole journey, it's not like I hadn't been trying. I had been trying to make content for like 6 years at this point, and none of it was working. And I just started incrementally testing different little things. I started being like, okay, this is what they do. They're selling stuff over here and this is an influencer page. And I started testing things on my own page. And about a year into doing that, I finally understood the levers and the triggers and I went viral. Whoa! And I got no sales.
No sales? Zero.
And I got reposted by some of the biggest creators on the planet. Everyone was having a laugh and I was like, this is my time. This is my time. Not one sale. That was the first time I understood like, oh, so views don't do anything for me. Huh. And then I had to go learn how to actually make content that gets sales. And then another year of doing that and I got it. I got a video that got 300,000 views. It was on my birthday. I went to sleep and I woke up with 1,000 orders. And I was like, no way. Let me just do this again. Did it again. Went little viral again. Another 1,000 sales. So by the end of those 2 weeks of hitting my learning curve, I had $30,000 in sales, more than that. That was the first time I ever hit a six-figure month. And that was...
It set you off on your roadmap.
I started in content and product, and that's why I approach it pretty differently. And then I went and got my bachelor's degree in marketing, and then I did it with a cosmetics business, and I did it with a slippers business, and then I did it with a restaurant and a tax company, and got to the point where people were like, how do I do this? And I'm like, oh, let's do it.
Let me show you how. So I want to highlight a few things you said. You were iterating, you were rinsing and repeating, you were trying new things until you figured out what worked for you. But you had a lot of failures. But some might look at you and go like, oh my God, that 1 month of like thousands of orders coming in, you looked like an overnight success, right? Like on paper, so to speak. But it wasn't. It clearly was like a lot of trial and error along the way.
It was years of dedication. It was years of studying. It was years of like, why does she get it and I don't? It was years of, I posted the same thing she posted. That, like in my head thinking it's the same. I'm not even able to like digest the difference that she posted in a swimsuit in Mallorca and I'm just looking cute in my room. I think that's the same thing in my head. I'm like, it's the same. I think, well, she posted a video showing how she makes her candles and it got 1 million views. So I'm going to try doing one making the candle and the lighting is horrible. And it looks like I shot it out through a microwave. Like there's so many like technical skills involved with it, as well as the storytelling and the hooks and all this other stuff. But I was testing with intention for so long.
Okay, you just named a bunch of things that could go wrong when people are creating this content, right? It could be the tactical things, the lighting, could be the hooks, the messaging, all of that. What's the most common issue that you see when you're watching product brands making content for the purpose of sales?
The most common thing is a deprioritized page because you posted for so long without any intent that now you don't even get a fair test and you end up posting for 6 years with 200 views. And now you think that... If I just keep posting, it'll get better, but you're actually making it worse because you've already hit deprioritization on the Instagram algorithm because you have proven 1,000 times that you're not retaining. So they just sideline you. And it's not a shadow ban, but a sideline. But you get to that place in the first place by 9 out of 10 times you were posting with really low quality or really aimless hooks. So you do that enough times and Instagram is going to play games back with you. You told it 1,000 times, I can't do it. So it's going to be like, all right, you can't do it. Almost every product-based business that comes to me, they're in a place where they have to be boxed, like fight for our lives to get you out of your deprioritization first, which actually is okay because it almost always is a result of the fact that you're shooting in low light. Your text hooks make no sense. They're actually not hooks at all. You're telling me about how you make this and your mom pours it into a silicone mold in your kitchen when you should be telling me it's going to clear up the eczema on my left butt cheek. Like you're just talking about the wrong thing with bad technicals. That's always what it comes down to.
Is it easy to get out of Instagram jail like you're talking about? How long does that take?
The worst case I've ever seen took about 60 days. It can be shorter. It really is like how many times can you now show up on Instagram with the correct signals and every post needs to show a little bit better retention, a little bit better of a skip rate, a little bit more of put it in front of these people. So I've never in my life encountered a page that can't be fixed, but it is a very, very common one in the product space, that problem specifically.
Yeah, I bet. Do you have people that just want to like scrap their old and start anew?
To be honest, not really. Because usually by the time people have gotten to me, they've been through a bunch of like guru programs and nothing has worked. And they've spent like $30,000 with a whole bunch of other things. And usually they're at the point where like, this is my life.
Well, and they've probably already worked to build their follower account and all these other things.
So I don't typically run into people that are like, I'm going to delete it and start over. Like, it doesn't happen all that much. And it doesn't really matter anyway. Like, it's your choice. Like, you can start a new one. We'll start a new one. Or we can fight for the one you have. It's your choice.
Well, to hear that it's only, like, 60 days-ish, and, you know, everyone's going to be different, of course. But, like, to hear that you've done it in 60 days, that gives a lot of hope of, like, oh, we can get out of jail.
The worst case scenario I ever saw was 60 days. And it was because the woman had posted, like, 1,400 times.
Oh, wow.
And everything got like 50 views on it.
So it took a while.
And I love those people because the fact that you showed up that many times and you said, I'm going to keep trying it. I love you for that.
Well, they're coachable.
They're coachable. Like, you kept trying. You're not going to post three times and be like, why haven't I gone viral yet?
Yeah. I do want to talk about virality in a minute, but I know there's a lot of product folks that don't necessarily like to show their face on camera, and they really want the product to be the hero of all of their marketing, including any videos. What are your thoughts on this?
It's really case by case. Like, if you're in the space of jewelry, it makes sense because it's an easy win to just have a hand up on a screen with some sun, natural sun, make it bright, make it pretty. That's fine. But if you have anything that's remotely close to something that needs to be demoed, you should be on camera talking about it. Because if you have like multiple layers to the product, you have something that needs to be explained, buttons that need to be pushed, what are you going to do? Overhead film yourself just like flipping pages? That's not exciting to anybody. So it really, really is case by case. I fight for my life to get people to show up on camera because it's just the easiest win. It is so easy. Unless somebody gave you $10 million and we can bring in talent and get like professional studios and everything done in a way that's like, we can make it look like Target on day one. Why would you waste your time not putting your face there? The only people that I will entertain that you shouldn't be on camera is if your product is so rock star that it can carry itself. Like, we have a girl with a marshmallow that she like screen prints onto, like custom faces and stuff. You don't need to be on camera. That's fine. We have a girl that does just really cool jewelry that's like completely handmade and interlocked. You don't need to be on camera. That's fine. But you're selling a mug, you're selling a service, you're selling t-shirts, you're selling anything that's not a billion out of a billion percent rock star, you are getting on camera.
Well, I also think too, there is a pull that nowadays people want to understand the people behind the brand, the values behind the brand. And so intermixing it even is like...
Yeah, intermixing it for sure. But, you know, like on that note, I work with many, many Muslim women that cannot be on camera to different degrees. Some of them can, some of them can't. Some of them are extremely modest to the point where they like glove and they don't even want their voice on camera. And we have to be able to work with that. So the triggers that make content work, work regardless, but it's just an easier, quicker win to show up on camera as yourself and be like, hey guys, it's what I do.
Yeah. Here's what I make. Here's what I got. Yeah. Okay. In your opinion, what role should organic content realistically be playing in a product brand's overall marketing strategy? Like, I feel there's a lot of people leaning towards paid ads and other things like that because they've kind of given up on the organic reach. But what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I have my big three in all of my businesses, which is your paid ads, your organic, and your SEO. And to me, none without the other. Like, I want all of those for many different reasons. But if my ad account goes down, I want to know I can rely on myself this month to keep the sales coming in through the organic. And if my organic stops working, I want those ads to make sure I'm making money this week. So those are my personal big three. So to me, organic is where you make your presence known on the internet. You go for awareness. You have fun, you show personality side of the brand, but like obviously we want that to turn into sales. It's your freest form of marketing. Ads are your stable marketing, SEO is your search marketing, and then organic is the, hey, let's go find people who don't know we exist marketing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how I treat it.
It's a trifecta, right? Like everything kind of has each other's back. All right, so what elements are like must have in your conversion-focused organic content? That's a lot of like buzzwords right there, but you know what I'm saying. Like what, you mentioned hooks, we mentioned tactical lighting stuff, but like what are the must haves that folks need to like build into their content creation?
Understand that not every piece of content is set up to get a sale. And then understand that what you're setting up to get a sale is rarely going to be the thing that gets you virality. So if you can go into it with the knowing which intent goes behind which piece, you can get off of that emotional roller coaster. Because if you get something that gets 10,000 views and no sales, are you going to feel good? No. You're going to be like, why did this doesn't work? If you go into something that gets 5 sales, 1,000 sales, but it didn't get as many views as you like, are you going to feel good? Probably not. You're going to be like, this doesn't work. So knowing like this is a conversion piece, we don't want this to get bangers views. We want this one to make sales, and then it did its job, and then I feel good. This is an awareness piece. We need this one to get a lot of reach. This one, we're not expecting the sales come in. We know what we want. I did that. I feel good. Like, people need to understand that since like content is marketing and marketing follows rules. And if you follow those rules, the inputs that you put in are what you're going to get out. So that I think would bring people a lot of like clarity around it. But the other big thing, here's the thing.
And bring it down.
When you run an ad and it's not good, do you sit there and say, ads don't work? No. You change the copy, you change the creative. You know that you did something wrong and you're like, well, let me fix this. But people don't take that approach with organic. They don't make the cuts and the trims and the measures. They never look at it and they say, this didn't work. They say, social media doesn't work. I'm terrible at social media. Everything sucks. And then you don't make the change. You just continue to post nonsense for 50 more times and then say it doesn't work and then burn yourself out. Because with the ad, you have money behind it. You're incentivized to actually be like, I know this works if I fix this. With the organic, you think there's no money, but there's time attached to it, which is just mad.
Yeah, time is definitely worth money. Okay, let's dig into that a little bit. The post isn't working so great. What is the first thing that you look at when you're looking at a client's post to skip rate? Tell me more about what's that. I don't know what
if
that is.
If your skip rate is really high, that means
people, oh, like they're passing through it. They're skipping your video.
Like people like to talk about like hooks. Your hook didn't even work if your skip rate is really high. So if your skip rate is like 70% and then I go down to your analytics and I see that people left at 2 seconds, it didn't even get rejected. The whole content itself, it went whoop and they swiped off so fast. Like there's a difference between hook didn't work and the whole thing didn't work. So when they leave really early, nothing worked. Your technicals are low. I couldn't see anything. I probably didn't even see your hook. It just whoop, as opposed to, oh, they stayed till 4 seconds and then they left. So they liked the hook, but they didn't like what came after that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like this because I'm a total data nerd. I love looking at like finances and stuff like that. These are data points I've never really like thought about or looked at, but you're right. So if we're looking at that, that makes total sense though. If they're leaving the first 2 seconds, it's the hook. So we go experiment. Next time you run that, you switch the hook out, right? If they're staying a little bit longer, we keep the hook, but we change out something after that because that's not working.
Yeah, close, almost. They leave at 2 seconds. They didn't even get to the point where they digested the hook. 2 seconds is it hit my screen and I immediately clicked off. I didn't even give you a chance. Low technicals, low lit. Maybe the editing was bad. It uploaded grainy. 2 seconds means it abraded my eyeballs and I gave you nothing. If they leave it 3 seconds, between 3 to 5, the hook was bad. Because that has enough time for me to digest it and me to see it and me to vote yes or no in my mind. And then if they leave beyond that, you took too long to get to the point. So it's really common for most people in general, they're leaving at 2 seconds because the technical skills are so low. And you just fix that by stop shaky handing it and like actually like give me something nice to look at. And then if you leave it 3 to 5, 3 to 7, 3 to 5, then it's your hook sucked butt.
Okay. Those are some good baseline of what to look for. I wanted to talk about going viral. I feel like I hear from product folks that are like, going viral is my goal. And clearly, as you've already told us, like you've been viral in almost every niche you've worked with yourself and with clients, it doesn't always equate to sales. So how do you reframe that conversation with clients that come to you saying, this is my goal, I want to go viral?
I ask them what they actually want. What do you actually want? Why do you want to go viral? Because I want to make sales. Oh, so you want to make sales.
Well, that's the main goal.
You have to be honest with me when you come to the table, because we have a lot of people who are just influencers and selling nothing, and they need to be honest and say, I want to go viral. Yeah. Okay. You're going to go viral. But it gets muddy when they start saying things like, I want to go viral, when they mean I need more business actually coming in and spending money. And it gets muddy when they say, here's a more common one is they do like, I don't actually want to go viral. I just want, you know, my community. That's 9 out of 10 times. It's like people are embarrassed to say what they actually want. I don't actually want to go viral. I just want a community. Girl, you want more sales. Tell me you want more sales. Because otherwise I'm going to go try to build a community for you instead of get you more sales. Tell me what you need. And my favorite example right now is we had a girl a couple months ago. She didn't go viral at all. Never once in her entire 6 weeks did she go viral in the program, because she said, I don't care about virality. I want to make sales. I've never made a single sale in all years I've been posting on this Instagram page. Her reach, she barely gets more than 3,000 views per post. But guess what she did get in February?
Sales.
$1,000 worth of sales.
That's great. How many?
$21,000. She went from zero sales after years of posting to a $21,000 month.
All because she changed her social media strategy and content.
We just changed the messaging. Her technical skills were pretty good already. She was like very good at like making it pretty. But yeah, her reach got worse. When she came to me, she was getting like 5,000 or 6,000 views per post. And I was like, what do you actually want though? And she's like, I will go out of business in the by summer if I don't get sales off this page. And I was like, okay, that's what we're going after. Now she gets between 1,000 and 2,000 views per post.
But people are buying.
$21,000 worth of sales. That's the biggest win of all time, if you're asking me.
Totally. That's a huge win.
Who cares about like what? Yeah, we love reach. I love reach. Like, of course I love being like, I got 5 million views. Of course we love that. But I don't love that so much if I'm not making money off of it.
Well, and you bring up a really good point too. Like the folks I work with have beautiful feeds for the most part. They have beautiful products. Everything's very curated. But I do wonder like, are we, and me too, like my feed is very like inspirational at times and this and that. Like, are we just catering to the likes and that dopamine hit? Like, we really need to go into it with such a stronger purpose. I've been seeing a lot of people giving up on social and saying, oh, social's not working, kind of like what you were referencing earlier. Maybe it's just that we haven't had a clear strategy plan for what we want out of the social.
Unrealistic expectations, because it was the wild, wild west. And I blame this on nobody but the people like me. This is the fault of people like me, because there was the wild, wild west time of social media where we all thought views meant something important. And then we started getting links in bios. And then we started like taking trackables and metrics seriously, and then didn't understand the conversation around it completely. And because on the marketing side, it was never really explained to people how this actually works. On the outside, you're thinking views must equal money because she looks like she has money. And it's only like within the last maybe 4 years, I would say, where people actually started taking metrics and tracking and data seriously around social media. So when I say it's like people like my fault, what I mean is we figured out quickly, like after I got my marketing degree and I had all this experience behind me and I had grown the businesses and all this stuff, it was like easy to talk about how to grow a page, but we didn't understand yet how to do it correctly. So we're teaching people to do things like 7 websites that feel illegal to know, to get 100,000 views, and then it turns into nothing. And then we don't realize until later, like, wait a minute, this is just like, it's just marketing. Like, why are we doing this wrong?
Okay. On that note, what tools are you using to help you kind of work through the data or schedule your social? Like, what are your favorites that you're using these days?
I don't.
You don't use any tools?
I don't.
Really? That's so impressive. So you just use like Instagram's like insights to look at each post, or like TikTok's in-app?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because social media for me is not passive. I have a huge team. I have 8 employees on my team that those people's salaries rely on my ability to create content that gets leads and gets people paid. So because of that, I do not treat any piece of my own personal social media or my client's social media passively. Like every single part I'm actively involved in. So to me, my job in this business is social media, is the posting. I am putting the same amount of care into a post as I am to customer service with a person. I am servicing, because this is just my process, and I know this doesn't apply to everybody, but since you asked, this is how I approach
it. No, I appreciate hearing this.
When I become passive with social media, it's easy to stop taking it so seriously, as opposed to I'm scripting, I'm filming, I'm editing, I'm posting. I don't even use auto schedulers. I do the whole thing manually, and I type my captions manually too. ChatGPT, I do not use any AI in any capacity, because my people aren't getting paid if I'm not treating this like a real function of the business. And that's like a actual thing that I live and die by for all of my clients that come in, is like, if you're not going to treat this as seriously as a heart attack, then there's no point in you being here. I'm going to give you a refund.
Well, you want clients that are going to take it as seriously as you are. Okay, so you don't use any scheduling tools. You don't use any AI. Are you using any editing software? I assume you're editing your videos.
CapCut?
Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So for my own personal content, I still do all my editing too.
Yeah.
I do everything on mine is mine.
This is really reassuring. Because I think there's so many people out there talking about how you need all these tools and, you know, tools for editing, tools for the, like, all this fancy software, all this fancy lighting, all this fan, like, honestly, it sounds.
That's what I mean about unrealistic expectations is, like, you think I'm not, my social media isn't making it because I don't have that freaking lantern.
Right.
That's the thing. No, it's because your script sucks and you can fix that with that with, and go stand in some natural lighting. I kind of hate that is because, like, this is what I film on. I film on my phone, I put it in CapCut, and then I post it.
Okay. I like this. I like this because this is realistic for most of the listeners. This is what they have available to them. Okay. And then too, on the analytics, like the data side that you were talking about earlier, you're just looking at the like info that the platform is providing you and making decisions there.
Yeah. I mean, there are more advanced tools that we have for like social listening and like grade scored and all this other analytics, but nobody needs that right now. Like I need that because I have to manage a bunch of people.
I want to zoom out a little bit. Well, we talk about why email marketing is so powerful in conjunction to or sometimes in replacement of social because some people are just tired of doing social. How does the stuff you're doing on social feed into other channels like your email list? What are your thoughts on this? Like, I think, in my opinion, I think everything needs to be an ecosystem that is like feeding people to a platform that you technically like own and control where you can talk to people. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I agree because if you're getting people opting into your email list through your socials and you got 100 people doing that every day because you're caught up on good reach tactics, good technicals and all this, why would that not be an amazing thing? Like it's just another piece. It's just more traffic to the business.
But to your point too, I'm sure that each piece of content has to be weighed of like, what's the purpose of this? Are we trying to get them to go check out and buy something? Are we trying to get them to join the email list?
Yeah. I mean, if we're being like all the way crazy with it, the tracking is not as good on social media as it is with anything else. Like you're going to post and you're going to see some type of positive movement in some direction, whether it's sales or emails or whatever. And that part of it is kind of so manual because first you have to get to the point where you're like, well, I understand how to get reach now. And now I'm going to post and try to measure, but that post from last week is still going. And it's like, then you end up in this manual labor kind of like post by post, like which one is doing what. So on that side, it's quite hard to track. There's softwares that do it, but they're really expensive. So it's not as trackable as paid.
No, that makes sense too. Okay. I've got two more questions for you. One, people are listening right now. They're super motivated. What is the first thing you want them to go do or think about? Like if we were to give them a homework assignment right now, what homework assignment would you want to give them?
I would say to learn to self-audit. So take a look, pull up your Instagram, have a look at it, be critical, be objective. Okay. Now let me go look at competitor content. Does it look like competitor content visually, or does it look like you shot it through a microwave? Does it look grainy? Does it look low quality? Are you kind of buried in the background? Is your lighting over here blowing up? Take a quality audit first. Do I, first of all, look like top performing content? If not, you're going to start the technical journey. If it looks good and you're like, no, I'm shooting this in a podcast. This is professionally shot. It's working really well, but it's getting no reach at all. Messaging problem. And that's something we can all fix just by learning better messaging.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Okay. And if brands are listening and they're like, I got to work with Kyla, where can they find you online? What kind of support options do you provide for folks?
Yeah. So Kyla Yuli is everything on everything. There's two different things that we do right now. One is the learning. It's a 6 weeks compression course where it's one-on-one with me every single week, plus 3 group calls per week, plus WhatsApp where you are strong-armed into sending your content submissions to get yes or no's before you post it, and you have to do 3 a week. It's very intensive.
That is intensive. I like it, though.
Everybody's crying and everybody's happy.
Happy tears or like stressed out tears?
No, good tears. Like everybody leaves with everything that you need to, like, because it's one-on-one with either. So I have multiple strategists here. If you're in the e-commerce space, you meet up with the e-commerce strategist as well as me. If you're just trying to be an influencer, then you typically meet up with just me because I do most of the influencer stuff. So it's one-on-one with your strategist. Plus you have to send in your submissions. The hook is not, like, it's too short. It's too long. The video is too long. The script is not good. Refilm. It's all that in the WhatsApp. And that's better for people who, it's really good for people who either need to learn how to do it themselves limited budget, or they're trying to become a content strategist and they need to teach people. And then the other one is the full agency services done for you. That's a not as exciting because you're not learning anything. I'm just doing it for you, which I love doing. But
do you have any people that go through the DIY portion and then they're like, nope, handing it off to you for the agency side?
It does happen, but not that much because I like to believe that like I keep things fun.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dumb learner. Like I'm the person where like by the time I graduated 18 years old, I still had no idea how many watermelons Johnny had. Like, I don't know, man. So like I talk in a way that makes sense to me. So I like to believe that other people enjoy it. Maybe they're hanging up and they're like,
No.
But the point is everybody leaves knowing what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I think too, there's something super valuable about being able to send something in, have it like critiqued on the spot. You can go back and make changes to it. We do a lot of different critiquing in my programs too. And people love it. Like they love when we look at catalogs and emails and all the things because they're getting that like concrete feedback right away. And then they can go make the change and post it.
So we started doing that out of like page preservation, because what we found is like people will think they get it and then they'll like post 10 things that they didn't get it. And then it's a hard peel back. So it's way easier to, if you're on a reduced distribution, I do not want you posting 10 times. Every piece needs to be quality. If you're a brand new page, I equally don't want you posting 10 times and throwing yourself into reduced distribution. I want good, 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 and maximize that good trust score that we have from Instagram because brand new account. So it started as a way to control, and then it just ended up being like my favorite thing ever.
Oh yeah. Well, and I'm sure it's the client's favorite thing too, because they just get that validation. It's like at the end when it's done and they feel good about it and they've got your sign off or your coach's sign off on it, they have the permission slip to post it and go. And also too, if anyone's trying to get out of that Instagram jail, like this gives you like concrete steps and milestones to get there because you're working collaboratively on it. I love this.
It's so fun. It's so fun. And we just sit in the WhatsApp all day and we're like, no.
I'm sure you give lovely, gentle feedback in addition to the, what are you doing?
As harsh as I am, like the way I am, the way I talk, I love all of my clients so much that I meet them where they are. Like I'm not going to like hammer down on somebody that's like not feeling it. And if you tell me like, yell at me, I'll yell at you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like the ones I have to yell at. That doesn't make me feel good.
I have this one girl and she's like, give me all of it. Yell at me today. And I'm like, you sure? She's like, yeah.
You're like, this stinks. That stinks. No, no. It's also hard too, because like you are the expert and you see so many different things and you know what's working. You've got your formula that works. But also I'm noticing, so I'm projecting here, I'm noticing people come in with their own mindset stuff and they have to like, you know, it takes some time to retrain their thinking of like, okay, here's what you've been doing, but it hasn't been working. So let's try something new and let's try this instead. And some of them are very coachable and ready to like jump head first. And some of them are like, I don't know, I've been doing it this way and it feels good to me this way. So it's...
Yeah. And then I hit them with the like, oh, so you're happy with 200 views? And they're like, well, no. And that's why I'm here. And I'm like, okay, good. Now be quiet.
Yeah. And let's experiment, because that's what business is. One big experiment.
Yeah. And that's like the most fun part about content is like, you get a lot of people who are like, I don't want to sacrifice my brand identity. The reason I'm doing this is because I'm unique. And it's like, yes, keep that, but let's fix the baseline. Like it's no different than like with the website. Like when you have your website, there's just the things that need to be on a website to make it a website and not soup. And then you get to be yourself on top of that. Learn the rules so you can break them.
Yeah, I love that. And also too, I will say one of the things I think that intimidates folks about social media in particular is the constant evolution, the algorithm always changing. But what you're teaching is the messaging and like, yours is the foundational piece that can kind of survive any of those algorithms.
It does survive, yeah. Because when you write a book, you write a movie, you write anything, you do your content marketing on your site, you're writing a blog. We still go through changes with all these things and different. It's the technicals. Technicals is half of what we do, but you ain't getting views without technicals. And then the thinking around the messaging is the other half of what we do. Because if your technicals are rock star, but your hooks stink, you're not getting views. And if your hooks are great and your technicals stink, you'll actually be used, but it won't be stable. You won't be able to actually like manipulate what you want the views to do.
I have a favor to ask. When you come teach in labs next month, can we talk about the technical and the messaging both?
Yeah, I mean, that's like all of this. I love all of this. This is like, we can talk about whatever you want.
We can talk about all of it. Awesome. Our listeners right now are loving this, I'm sure, but I'm really excited to dive a little bit deeper with you. So, Kyla, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
This was awesome. I love your energy.
I talk so much.
No, girl, me too. Me too. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. For friends listening, we're going to put all of Kyla's links in the show notes so you can learn more about her services and sign up for her information there. Go follow her on social. It's so fun. I promise.
Oh, I'm testing the new algorithm right now, so enjoy the chaos.
Oh, it's good. It's all good.
Kyla is a firecracker. She's super smart, strategic. It's a fun combo to talk to on this podcast. So if you want to learn more from Kyla, we've included all of her links in the show notes. If you want to work with her team, you can access her there. I strongly recommend you go follow her online. She's dropping really important and helpful tips for free on her socials. She's mainly on Instagram and TikTok, so go follow her there. Also, if you are one of our labs members, you do not want to miss her upcoming workshop on how to turn visibility into sales. We're going to break down some of the tactical and messaging pieces that we talked about on today's episode in a little more depth, and you want to have all of that ready to go. She's also going to do a Q&A to answer your specific questions. I love that part of our calls. So Labs is our community for product sellers, where we help you streamline your sales, your marketing, your operations, so that you're putting more money back in your pocket and freeing up more of your time for the things that you love. You will not only get access to educational workshops like the one coming up with Kyla, but you'll also get access to our vault of templates and training replays, personalized feedback on things like your website, your catalog audits, and emails, and you get our peer masterminds where you can connect with others that are growing in similar stages and phases of business. Sounds like something you want to be a part of? Come join us at proofedtoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's proofedtoproduct.com/labs. All right, thanks for listening until the end today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will be back soon with another new episode.